You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 29 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Mateta Tulari, about driving that rand. We were at 15 and change a little while ago. It looked like we were going sub 14. Chatting with PPC, they announced a successful debt restructuring refinancing. And then Skolklo, we've talked with him before about holdco discounts. Now we're seeing unbundlings by RMI and Telkom, and value is being unlocked. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management, authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from Fin24. We saw the Saab quarterly bulletin out yesterday. The talk around tax overruns, there was too much tax coming in, and larger economy, thanks to that rebasing of GDP, could help with certainly ratings agencies, but it's going to still take some time. And from CNBC, 10-year yield continues rapid climb, hitting its highest level in the U.S. since June of this year. Morning markets, a sea of red. S&P off 2%, NASDAQ down 2.9% overnight. Asia, Sydney's off 1%, Turkey are down 2.5%. Commodities mixed, gold 17.41 an ounce, Brent a little better, 77.88, Rand 15.11. Top 40 opening call looking about 170 points down. That's just under 0.3%. That is Tencent trades down 2.9% during the lunch break in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Talking now with Mateta Tulari, RMB head of FX execution. Mateta, appreciate the early morning time. I mentioned in my intro there, Rand 15.11. It was just a little while ago. It looked like it might go through 14 and into 13. What is the story here? I mean, I'm looking at the dollar currency index, the DXY, and certainly that is looking stronger. Is this more just the world is moving to some safety, or is there something personal that we should take as our currency gets sold off?
Good morning, Simon. And I suppose, yeah, look, the rand has weakened for a third day yesterday versus the dollar. And I think the market is really turning risk averse amid an energy crisis. I mean, we'd have thought that the world would be going through an energy crisis given our own issues locally with Eskom, you know. But obviously, factor that in with rising treasury yields and also Chinese growth concerns. And on the back of that, you know, we've seen outflows in the South African bond market extending now to about 13 days. So quite a significant amount of value has been lost in the bond market. And obviously that will have a really strong correlation to what's happening in the rand market. And I suppose the big global story is the energy supply shortages that are being experienced out in Europe and China. And also when you think about it, I mean, just a week and a half ago, we also saw the likes of iron ore and rhodium coming off from all-time highs, especially with what's happening in China and them obviously putting in restrictions on some of these commodities. And then obviously, you know, there's raising fears about the potential for similar issues in the U.S. and possibly speculation that this could create a more permanent upward demand on inflation. So, you know, on the back of that, we've seen the rand implied falls, the FRAs, and the swap market continue to rise. And also on the back of that, I mean, you've even, as you mentioned earlier, Brent oil also pushing through $80 a barrel. And already now, the traders are starting to talk about potentially $90 a barrel. And on the back of that, you've also seen gold prices come off quite significantly. I mean, just a few months ago, we were talking about $2,000 an ounce, and now we're talking at about $1,750. So it just shows you that, unfortunately, you know, the resilience from the commodity prices isn't there, and obviously that is also going to be factored into the rand weakness. Obviously, there is still quite a lot on the rand market in the next 3 months that we really need to watch out for.
Yeah, the rand currently 15.11. Earlier this month, it was down at almost 14.11. That 15.11 level seems to be a place it gets to and then strengthens. I suppose with the rand, it's more a wait and see. Predicting it is you put your head in a block. It's almost certainly going to get chopped off.
100%. I mean, look, just call it 6 weeks ago, we got up to 15.50, mm-hmm. Which is obviously a bit of a psychological level for the rand. But if you think about it in hindsight, you know, last year during the height of the pandemic, we got to levels of 19.36.
Yeah.
But in an average year where there's no pandemic or anything untoward, the rand usually moves in a 2 rand 50 range. Already this year, I mean, we got down to lows of around 13.30, and already heading to highs of around 15.50. So it kind of shows you that we are still within that 2 rand 50 range. But I think if we do see any, you know, spillover effects with regards to COVID or obviously the energy, you know, supplier issues out in Europe and China obviously escalate, or even Evergrande, I mean, that's also something that's been on the minds of everybody. Also, that also escalates. That could potentially, you know, hurt the rand. And don't forget, I mean, in the next 2 weeks, well, in the next 6 weeks, we've got, you know, the local government elections. Mm-hmm. That should be something that the local market will be looking at with keen interest. And then 3 days after that, we've got the medium-term budget speech by our new finance minister, you know, at that point in time. And obviously after that, we're going to have the ratings agencies. I mean, I already saw the likes of S&P coming out yesterday to reflect that the main risks to the economic outlook are the low vaccination rates and further lockdowns to curb the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. But the nice thing is obviously they did even revise our GDP numbers from 4.2 to 4.4, which is obviously good given the fact that we also had those riots out in July. But I suppose, you know what, it is going to be quite interesting to see how the rand closes into the year, especially given the fact that we've still got one more central bank meeting from the US and one from Lesedja in November.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's fair point. As you list what happens over the next couple of months, it's going to be a wild ride to the end of the year. Mateta Tulari, RMB Head of FX Execution, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Roland van Vreenen. He's PPC CEO. They had an announcement out around the debt restructuring, also a bit of an update. Roland, appreciate your time. Your announcement of Tuesday, in a nutshell, you've reached terms with lenders. The sale of PPC Lime is delayed into October, but going ahead. And everything's, I mean, looking good. Your lenders are happy.
Yeah, I think we've reached important milestones, and the disposal of Lime is actually slightly ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We originally anticipated to close towards the end of the year. We got all the CPs in place a little bit earlier. That, of course, also stimulated the negotiations with the South African lenders, so the rights issue is off the table once we have the money from disposal in our bank accounts.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key point. Rights issue off the table, and truthfully, a much strengthened and better-looking balance sheet than 6-12 months ago.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of things have come together. This is not the work of one particular individual. This has been the whole team, PPC, our customers, but also our South African lenders. I think they've been patient with us. We've demonstrated to them what we can do. We've delivered. And that shows once more that, you know, keeping a promise is important in business.
Yeah, and what you also, I mean, part of that process, I mean, the DRC restructuring as well, you talk around that has also been, that process is being delayed. But the core tenet there remains, which is no recourse back to South Africa PPC and your balance sheet.
Absolutely. So that has not changed. What has changed in the timeline is the way we intend to do the restructure. Mm-hmm. There has been slight changes from what was envisioned at the end of March to make the process more efficient. These discussions have therewith delayed some of the administrative steps. But the key thing is the removal of the recourse to the group is firm and in place since the end of March last year.
Yeah, that's what, when we chatted last year, that was one of the concerns. Your trading update, you're talking around for the 6 months ending September, year on year, looking around a 10 to 13% increase in volumes. If you go back to 2019, a 6 to 9% increase in volumes, those are not bad numbers. The pandemic's still here. There's still some challenges, but you're doing all right in terms of volume sales.
Yeah, I think it's okay. If you break it down, you know, of course the comparison to 2019 is the most relevant one, mm-hmm. given that 2020 was heavily upset by the COVID lockdowns. And we've always said that for South Africa and Botswana, we're looking at 2019 as the reference year. We're trading 3 to 6% above that in cement volumes. So yeah, slightly ahead of our expectations, but you know, there's still a lot of work to be done to really get all the infrastructure projects off the ground that we all look for, right? Because that is what creates the jobs mm-hmm. that we need so badly.
Yeah. In terms of supply chains, I imagine we're seeing all over the world serious problems with it, but you're producing in countries, so I would expect that supply chains aren't really a challenge for yourselves in your various markets.
Well, as such, no. What we have seen is a slight improvement in the, especially the rail, which is very important to us in our domestic supply chain. So we've been working closely with Transnet to improve some of the bottlenecks. We've seen some improvements. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, but at least it's progress.
In terms of imports, this has long been an issue in the cement industry. Is this still a concern? Are we still seeing imports coming into the country?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is still the case. And for as long as South Africa will have a strong export of commodities towards Asia, you know, the vessels that are coming back empty, they're happy to pick up any load. So they pick up the cement at already ridiculously low prices out of countries like Vietnam, bring it into the country. And ultimately, Simon, you know, we're talking about one full cement plant that could be operating, creating hundreds of jobs directly, thousands of jobs indirectly. Not to speak about tax benefits and all the other good things that comes with local manufacturing capabilities.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought of that. As you say, of course, it's those ships coming back empty. They're desperate to take on board anything. I mean, I'm assuming that
100%.
As an industry, you're engaging with government. Just at this point,
very
not
much
making
so.
Much headway.
Yeah, very much so. Well, it's a very diligent process, and I think it's good as well that, you know, the government does apply its mind properly. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of data exchange points between the industry association and the government. I look forward to the point where, you know, the respective regulator comes to the conclusion that this is worthwhile, a proper investigation. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happens, we can apply for temporary relief measures as well.
We'll leave that there. PPC CEO Roland van Veenen, appreciate your time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Taking now with Skalk Lowe, he of course from PSG Old Oak. Skalk, appreciate your early morning. We chatted earlier in the year around holdcos and the discounts that they were trading to their underlying assets. And one of the things that obviously proposed is, well, spin out the assets. Boom, suddenly it's happening. I don't think folks are listening to us. Well, maybe they are. Maybe RMI and Telkom are listeners. But we've seen RMI say they're going to get rid of Discovery and Metropolitan, leaving them without insurance. Telkom, Swiftnet, and then in time, OpenServe. And this is working. Both stocks have responded positively to the announcements.
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the MoneyWeb Now listeners. Yeah, I think I should be changing my name from Mr. Local to Mr. Holdco, because clearly that's only when we speak lately. Okay, so just a bit of a history lesson. Let's start off with RMI, because it's a very interesting one.
Yeah.
This is basically when we look at it, a bit of a history lesson. I mean, the group RMI took a controlling interest of Momentum Metropolitan in 1992, and also, I mean, they provided Adrian Gore and Barry mm-hmm. Swartzberg seed funding. You know, the seed funding to basically start and the license to build Discovery in 1993. So now, pretty much, let's call it close to 30 years later. Now they're unbundling these two listed entities, where they said now they want to be focusing on becoming more a general insurer. Now, why I like this company is you know, if you look around, you know, one of the strongest insurers out there is OUTsurance. It's unlisted entity. Yeah. And I've always told my clients, you know, if you want to get exposure to this wonderful company, the only way of really doing so is by investing in the holding company. They basically own just over 89% of OUTsurance. And that's RMI. Now, yeah, I mean, back to the discount. I mean, we've been chatting about this. I mean, what will trigger, you know, these discounts to narrow? Because we chatted about Remgro trading, yeah. You know, I think end of last year, 44%. We're not even going to touch on NicePass again because we know that story. I mean, this is a company, RMI, that was trading pretty much at its intrinsic value 2 years ago, a little bit more than 2 years ago, and just prior to the announcement, now, you know, a week ago, this company was trading at a 29% discount to its intrinsic value. So a massive, massive discount developed in a very, very short period. How do you unlock that? And hey, there's the answer.
Yep, and then you're left with OUTsurance, which is a great asset. And now, if I want to, and they've got some Hastings and a bit else, but I'm predominantly then got OUTsurance. And Telkom's a slightly different deal in that the sense that, you know, the OUTgrain CEO is saying, you know, we've got some great assets, market's not recognizing it. They're going to list SwiftNet that could be worth $13 billion or so. That it does about $1.2 billion revenue on an EBITDA margin of 80% almost. And this is a $13 billion asset. Telkom's only a $23 billion market cap.
Uh-huh. This is a bit of an MTN playbook, Simon. I must say, I wonder if they're going to be copying and pasting, you know, what's been doing it. But we know we know recently, you know, Nigeria's IHS Towers, mm-hmm. which is also a tower company, they now going to be listing on the New York Stock Exchange, and MTN holds about a third of this. So Telkom is doing the same. But back to Telkom, I think this is, you know, I think caught the market surprise, because we know that since the announcement was made, the share price popped 19%. We'll get back to RMI again, what they've done, but the share price popped 90%, but this is pretty much what they said. When we look at the trading update for their quarter end, you know, 30 June, which was brought out the 4th of August, they clearly stated, you know, their intention is to unlock value for shareholders. Now, you know, 21st of September was just a bit of a reminder. It's it's not new news. This is just a bit of a reminder. We are going to unlock value. And this is wonderful news. I mean, SwiftNet, you know, as you mentioned, by outgoing CEO Tsepo Motsepe, I mean, saying that SwiftNet, the business is valued about $13 billion, as you mentioned. So this could be really, really very good. Nobody wants these called tower companies, and SwiftNet is now sort of taking up all these towers, managing it as a separate entity. So now what they do is they can be focusing the mobile companies, basically sell their towers, or Telkom as well, they sell their towers to SwiftNet and basically rent it back. They don't have to focus on the maintenance costs and the infrastructure. Really be focused. I'm really excited about this one. I think for Telkom, this is a great injection. Definitely help them, you know, after recent years where they've been under pressure. So in both cases, I mean, we've just heard about RMI's discount, which was 29%. As with yesterday's close, that discount, you know, 29% discount to NAV for RMI came down from 29% to just under 18% in a little over a week. So this is one they just want to see. Great. But done, you know, well done by RMI and Telkom. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for both these companies.
Yep, and of course with Telkom, we actually get a new listing, SwiftNet, an entire, in a different asset class, something for investors to really look forward to. Skoklo, PST, Old Oak, appreciate the early morning this morning. I polled today on our Twitter and LinkedIn, chatting with Skok there about that unbundling. Is this the best way for those holdcos to reduce or remove discounts? I mean, the evidence is absolutely it is, but have your vote, have your say on our Twitter and LinkedIn pages. That's it for today. Our poll we were asking you yesterday was around investing investing in luxury and with China as a long-term underpin. We were chatting with Peter Little from Anchor. About a third of you said, yep, you absolutely like this, and Richemont your preferred. 10-odd% were saying you actually prefer the offshore. But over half of you saying, thanks, but no luxury for you. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website, app, and of course, wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Marika, and Nicole, for helping put the show together. For you, for listening, my guests, for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.